I start with a kind of a very silly question for you. And if you wonder why I'm playing with my iPad, I'm trying to get today's service up here so I can interact with people online. I don't know if it'll work, but we'll give it a shot here. Here's a question for you that I want you to think about. And in the room, I expect responses, okay? I want feedback. This is where you get to actually speak to me. And if you're online, there's about a 15-second delay we've discovered. And so I'm going to be looking at the chat window here. Oh, I see some people chatting there. Nice. I see myself in the screen there. That's a little intimidating. So here's the question we start with today. If you could have any superpower, what superpower would you pick? Now, if you're online, go ahead and type it in. I want to see those start popping up. But while we're waiting for them to pop in there, in the room, let me hear it. What would your superpower be if you could pick a superpower? To fly. Okay, how many of you would say I'd fly? Any others fly? I'm probably in the fly camp. Anybody else? What else?
Teleport.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. I heard something over here.
Invisibility.
That's frightening. Oh, Joe Ballard's in the room, but also chatted. He said his superpower would be to be right like his wife. So there you go. See, he thought he was going to get away with it by chatting it in. I caught you, Joe. Lindsay McDonald says mind reading. So that's another frightening one right there. Just so you know, there is a website, if you go Google it, it says, what would your superpower say about your personality? It's kind of fascinating, a little creepy. Now, you know, that is a silly, silly question. Superpowers aren't real. But how many times, especially now, during the pandemic, you're working from home, and you get in this mindset or emotionally to a place, and you just kind of think, you know what, I'm done, I'm spent, I just can't do this anymore, I'm tired, I'm sick of this stupid pandemic, I'm ready for things to move to the next level. And then you come to church, or you watch it online, and you have a pastor like me stand up here and start talking about all these things that we think you should do, the way you should live. So it's do better, be better, do these things, don't do these things. And in the past few weeks, we've been talking about all these things that the world needs now. And we've spent a lot of time talking about these traits and these behaviors that are very important. But if we're not careful, you know, you come away from these messages and what you hear is, all right, go try harder. And I don't know if you're like me, but especially now, the last thing I want to hear is, go try harder. Because sometimes it's enough to just get out of bed and go do work at your kitchen table or, you know, fix dinner for the kids and lunch for the kids and play with the kids because the kids are with you 28 hours a day, you know. And so to hear a message where you walk away and you just kind of go, here, try harder, could be disappointing, could be frustrating, could be challenging. And really, is that the point? Is that what we're trying to tell you? Is that the point here is just really try harder, guys? Is the only hope of us doing better or being better built on your willpower, your strength? Well, today, what we wanted to do, we're not quite done with the series. We've got a few more weeks we're going to go here. But today, I wanted to interject and just answer that question for you. Because the answer to that question is no. When you hear these messages about humility and all the other things we've talked about, we're not standing up here saying, you need more willpower. You need to just be trying harder. That's not at all. Because today, what I want to remind us, hopefully it's the reminder, is how we can tap into something, not something, but someone who can give us the power and the strength that we need, that can empower us to live the way that Jesus called us to live. And so what we're looking at today is what the world needs now is people who are following Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that even saying and singing a song about the Holy Spirit can really challenge us sometimes because it really depends on your background. Where did you grow up? What kind of church were you in? Or did you just have friends that were in certain, you know, expressions of the church? So when you hear the word Holy Spirit, it can create a whole range of emotions for us. So now we're going to take a poll online as well and in the room. We'll start in the room to let them catch up a little bit. But so let's take this poll. So there's going to be four options that you can vote. So take a look at the screen. So the first one says, what comes to mind when you hear the word Holy Spirit, okay? So the first one says, I love the Spirit and all things charismatic. The second one says, I'm okay with the Spirit, but I still have some questions. The third one says, I'm a little apprehensive or uncomfortable with subject. I'm not really sure about it. I know it's in the Bible, but you know. And then the fourth one is, where's he going? Move on. Let's talk about something else. Okay. So how many of you, see, and I'm going to call you out here. How many of you, and if you're watching online, go ahead and type your number in the screen. 1, 2, 3, or 4. It's on that slide there. How many of you would say number one, I love the Spirit. That's why you're at Ashworth, I think. Awesome. You can't see this online. There's a lot of hands going up for number one. That's awesome. All right. How many of you, and I realize this, be honest, we're a family here. It's okay. How many of you would say two? I'm okay with the Spirit, but still have some questions. Okay. Very honest. How many of you say, ooh, that topic may make me a little bit uncomfortable? Anybody? Okay. How many of you would say, I think that's my phone ringing. I need to go check it because I got to get out of here. I don't like this topic at all. Nobody? Okay, I see. Okay, some ones coming in online, some twos. Very nice. Oh, here's some more superpowers too. Somebody wants to be a healer. Look at them. Man, that's, yeah. And again, I'm not surprised. I'm watching all these numbers come in. We have a lot of ones. You guys are, this is awesome because, you know, depending on where you grew up, really has a lot to do with what you believe about the Holy Spirit. Because as I said, this is not typically a benign topic. It's a very emotional driven topic. And so some of you, if you grew up in a church where, you know, you talked about the Holy Spirit, you leaned into that, you talked about that a lot. You love this topic. You lean into it. You're like, man, I wish we would talk about the Spirit 51 out of 52 weeks of the year. This is awesome. You know, or maybe for others, you may have grown up in a church more like I did and that knew there was a third part of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. We knew that the Spirit convicted us of sin, didn't do much beyond that necessarily. It was always the negative side of things. You're a sinner. That's what the Spirit does, right? But we kept a very hands-off approach because we thought, you know, we're going to let those crazy charismatics have the Spirit. We're just, you know, and so you see the abuses that sometimes take place in churches and you're just like, woo, that's too out there. And so you just go completely hands-off, which really isn't a healthy approach, but we just kind of move on. And so what we find ourselves doing, instead of leaning into the Holy Spirit, we lean into other things because we all find something to lean into. It's our human nature. So we lean into Bible study, or we lean into Bible knowledge, or we lean into, you know, good works and doing social justice things. And we just kind of lean into something other than leaning into the Holy Spirit. But whatever we believe, it can be very divisive. But what we have to realize is that all these things we've been talking about, humility, courage, peacemaking, lament, truth, and several others that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, like equality and justice, mercy and compassion, gratitude and generosity, all these things aren't possible and they're not sustainable unless we have the Spirit of God living within us, unless we are being filled with and empowered by the Spirit of God. And so I make this statement, we cannot live the Christian life until we are open to the indwelling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And this goes beyond Bible study and Bible knowledge. It transcends church attendance. It's the source, and it transcends moralistic living. What we're talking about must be the foundation, the source, the influence we must have if we truly want to follow Jesus and expect others to see Jesus living through us. It all comes down to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a subject that is ignored in the Bible. In fact, Paul talks a lot about the Spirit. In fact, there's a group of churches he helped start in a southern region of Rome called Galatia. And when he was traveling through the area, he helped start these churches. But after he left, he realized some teaching was coming into the church that needed to be addressed. And so he writes the letter to these churches in this region, and he tries to address it, and it deals a lot with the Holy Spirit. And here was the trouble. Here was the problem, is that after Paul left, he shared with them, he said, following Jesus is the thing. It's not about becoming a Jew. It's not about following the law or the rules, but it's all about being filled with the Spirit and following Jesus. That's what sets us apart. But some of the other Christians that were already there, they were starting to challenge that. And they were saying, well, but we were Jews first. And so really to be a right Christian, you really need to become a Jew first. So that means you have to follow the law. And guys, I'm sorry, you got to be circumcised because that's what good Jews do. And so that's the foundation for being a Christian. And so Paul writes to them to say, let me talk to you about this. Let me talk to you about why there's an error in your thinking. And so we find this in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul writes about this to the church. And listen to what he says to them. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but you do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. And so pay attention here, because there's a dichotomy set up here. There's a conflict here that's set up between the spirit and the flesh, okay? So he says, but you were not to indulge the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Wow, that's quite a list. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Isn't that an amazing passage right there? And you can hear, as you understand the background, you see two sides that have developed in this church that Paul is having to address. Remember, when we read letters like Galatians, it's like listening in on one side of a conversation. And so we're peeking into what Paul, who sees himself as a father to these people, a spiritual father, saying to them to help them. And he says, look, I see what's happening here. So you've got those Jewish Christians that are first saying, oh, you've got to become a Jew. And Paul's going, yeah, that's not the way. The law was insufficient to do what you needed the law to do. Really, what the law was good for was to show you that you were insufficient, that you could never measure up, that there had to be another way. He says, but then there's a second problem going on here in the church, and that second problem is this, is that there's another group that says, but yes, I have Jesus, and I can do whatever I want to do. I have complete freedom. And Paul says, you know, yeah, you do have freedom, but it's just not freedom from, it's freedom to. There is a difference. And Paul wants the people to understand that it's freedom from the rules of dead religion. It's freedom from the sin that trips us up, but it's not freedom to sin. It is freedom to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's freedom to love our neighbor. And it's such a powerful statement when Paul lists all these sins that we can get caught up in. And he says after that, he says, but I warn you, those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's showing us this conflict, this divide that exists, that is something that we're going to struggle with 2,000 years later, that as we try to follow Jesus, it's going to be a battle for us to be aware of that is being waged. And Paul is saying this fleshly mentality is in opposition to what the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God is calling us to live, how it's calling us to live. These two things are mutually exclusive, which is an important point, because I think sometimes what we find is we want a little bit of Jesus, but we want a little bit of Jesus mixed in with what I want and the way I want to do things. But it doesn't work that way. as we've talked about through all this series, we're talking about following King Jesus. And when you come into his kingdom, it means we bow the knee and surrender ourselves to what he calls us to do, to his influence, to his guidance and leadership. And the question is what will influence? We're going to be under the influence of something. Will we allow that to be Jesus, or will it be our desires, our natural impulse, our lust, our selfishness, or that Spirit of God? Which one is it? Now, why is this? I think this is such an important point, because I think what Paul is reminding us is that it all has to come down to listening and influence. What are you listening to? What has influence in your life right now? And I want you to think about that just right here in this moment. Think about it. If you were to think, what has the greatest influence in my life today, right now in this moment? Don't say it out loud. Don't chat it in the window. This is personal time. But think about it. How would you answer that question? What has the most influence? Is it a person in your life? Maybe it's your spouse, your parents, a coworker, a political party, a news channel, a streaming video service? What is it that we are giving ourselves to influence how we think and how we live? Because we're all listening to something. We're all surrendering ourselves to something. And really, if you want to find out what has the greatest influence, all you really have to do is look at how you live every day. How you speak, how you interact, the things you post on Facebook. What does that look like? Does that reflect the character and nature of Jesus? Or does it reflect a news channel soundbite that you heard last night? You see, the problem for all of us is we have a tendency to gravitate towards the things that look and sound like us. And so we get stuck in echo chambers, and the echo chamber becomes the loudest voice in our head. But what if that's not the way it's supposed to be? What if we're supposed to quiet ourselves to be able to listen to and hear the voice of the Spirit of God? You see, I think many times our busyness, our constant influx of information and media and stimuli, all these things do one thing really well: prevent us from hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. And if we believe that what the world needs now is all these things we've been talking about and will keep talking about, how are we ever going to get there? There comes a point where we have to step back and we have to say, I need to turn off, I need to unplug, and I need to listen to the Spirit. To me, that is the missing element in a lot of what we see taking place around us today. I know for me personally, it is an incredible struggle when I see and hear things. I don't like to be a reactionary, but there are so many times in my life somebody will do or say something and it's there. I know in those moments when that happens, that's Brent, that's the flesh, that's not the Spirit of God. Praise God that there is a button that you have to hit that says post before it goes live on Facebook, or you guys would have fired me a long time ago. But what the world needs now is people who will shut out those voices, sit down and listen, and not just individually listen, but come together as the community. And I want you to hear this, that even though we come to faith individually, it's never lived out individually. And when Paul is talking to them about the Spirit of God, he's talking about living that out together in community, which makes it very difficult right now in the midst of a pandemic. And that's probably why a lot of us are like, I'm really getting sick and tired of this thing, because we miss and we need and we were built to experience the Spirit of God together in community. So we need to listen, but what does the Spirit do for us? Now, to be fair, we could spend an entire series on the Holy Spirit. 5 years ago we did, called The Other Guy. Check it out. It's on our website. It was a great series. We loved it. But just to give you a quick overview of the Spirit, I just want to show you some verses to say, here's how the Bible describes what the Spirit does for us. The Spirit teaches us and directs us. He comforts us. He gives us words to speak. He gives us gifts, which aren't for ourselves, but are for the body. He convicts us, which some of us knew that very well. He makes us alive. He advocates, he helps, and we could have gone on. He intercedes for us. There's a powerful passage that talks about when we are praying and we don't even know what to pray, that the Spirit will pray for us with things we may not even understand. The fact that we have all this at our disposal is so significant and important that I think sometimes we miss it. We miss it because we just, it's like the marriage relationship that you've had for a long time. Now, some of you may not know this, but you know, when you've been married for a while, it's very easy to fall into a trap of taking your spouse for granted. Christianity, I think, is the same way. When we have had access to the Holy Spirit, when we know He's there, it is very easy for us to be like, I don't need you. It's all good. I've got this figured out. We cannot do that, because what we have to remember is that the Spirit is the representation of God in our life. It reminds us that God didn't just want to know you. He didn't just want to talk to you. That the God who created you in His image desires to live in you. And that's what the Spirit does, is He lives in us. In fact, you know, Jesus even made this statement about the Spirit. He said, you know, it is better that I go away. Think about that. Jesus Christ was here on this earth. And many of us would say, I would have loved to have been there, loved to have met Him. Yep, absolutely. And Jesus Himself said, you know what? But it's better that I leave, because when I leave, the Comforter, the Spirit is coming, and He will live in you. And it's better for you that I leave. Isn't that an amazing statement? But you know, even though we have the Spirit available to us, doesn't mean we are availing ourselves to the Spirit. There may be some things holding us back. What might be holding us back? Just a few things. Number one, we want Jesus on our own terms. I talked about that earlier. You know, sometimes we think that faith should just be added into what we already think and know. If your view of God doesn't challenge you on some level, you don't have a really big view of God, and I don't think you really understand who God is. Because if God that you worship says, nope, you've got everything figured out, you're completely right. Really? Wow, aren't you lucky? Aren't you special? That's not been my experience. God is bigger. God asks things of me that challenge who I am at my core. And so I have to learn that I can't get Jesus just on my own terms. And what this tells us, though, is that even though we're given the Spirit of God, sometimes we don't want what God offers. What we want is that ticket to heaven, right? What we want is to be able to be approved by God in the end, but we want to have it our own way here. And we've misunderstood salvation, and we've misunderstood Jesus if that's what we want, because that's not the point. Jesus didn't come to get you to heaven. Jesus came to bring heaven to earth and to invite you to be a part of what He's doing. We don't get Jesus on our own terms. The question is, do we really want to change? Do we really want what the Spirit is offering us, which is genuine change from the inside out? This isn't behavior modification. The Spirit comes to live within us and change us, changes our heart. Changes what we care about, changes what we love, changes our passion. That whole flesh and spirit battle that's raging, when we give ourselves over to the Spirit, that becomes less of a battle for us, because the Spirit takes over and wins it for us. Not that we sit on the sidelines, but we have to ask ourselves, do we really want to change? Or are we just going, no, I kind of like the way I am. I just want a little bit of Jesus sprinkled in. Just get me there when it's over, Jesus. That'll be good. But it doesn't work that way. Another thing I think holding us back is religion seems easier. Let's be fair. If I could stand up here and say, you know what? To be good with God, you need to pray 5 minutes a day. You need to read the Bible 17 minutes a day. You need to attend church 75% of the time. And you need to be a good Christian and give a tithe. That's for the really super Christians. But if you give 5%, we'll accept that. How many of you would think, oh man, that's so much easier? Absolutely it is, isn't it? We want the checklist. Pray, check. Read the Bible, check. Write that check, check. I mean, that's the easy stuff. The problem comes in is that, that goes into the third one, is we're scared of losing control. The checklist keeps us in control, but when we begin to follow the Spirit, we understand that things might get out of our control. What do I mean? Be- Because think about this. Have you ever had a moment where you felt the Spirit of God speaking to you? And the Spirit spoke and said, hey, there's a person over there. I want you to go speak to them. That's crazy, right? That's out of control. I didn't do that. Why are you asking me to do that? Or maybe you get a bonus at work and you hear that voice that says, you know what? You don't need this. I want you to give it all away. And you think, I want that religion thing. I mean, at least the Old Testament only required 10%. I'd get to keep 90. Spirit, what are you doing? It takes us to a little bit of being out of control. My friend Suki let me borrow this painting she did just not too long ago. She loves to paint. If you've ever seen her artwork, you should follow her on Facebook. She's an incredibly talented artist. But what this is this is the whole represents the Holy Spirit. And when you begin to read the Bible and understand that the Bible talks about the Spirit in these terms, like a wind, like a fire, like a rushing water, what do these things have in common? They're not easy to control, are they? Fire burns out of control. We can see that happening all over the place. Water runs wherever it wants to. Wind, we have no way to control it. We can try to harness it, but we still don't do a great job with that. It means that we are not in control. But, you know, sometimes we look at those things and we only think about the negative, that it's bad, that fire and wind and water, because they're so destructive. Yeah, they can be. But when that fire is harnessed, what does fire do? It purifies. It removes the contaminants. What does wind do? Wind powers, and if a sailboat is out on the lake, you raise that sail, and that wind pushes that boat exactly where it needs to go. Or water. What does living water, rushing water do? It brings life. It brings life. So instead of seeing the Spirit as someone to be afraid of, we need to recognize that it's the most amazing gift we could have ever been given. It'll give us the power. And Jesus said this, it'll give us the power to do even greater things than Jesus himself did on the earth. You realize Jesus made that statement, the things you've seen me do, you will go and do even greater. I'm just going to tell you, no amount of money in the bank, no fine-tuned marketing or strategic plan, no incredible vision will ever get that accomplished. You know what accomplishes that? The Spirit of God living through a group of people. That is how that takes place. So what do? Very simply, we realize we can't do it on our own. It's in our weakness that his strength is made perfect. The Bible clearly shows that what God has in mind for the coming kingdom transcends human ability. Catch that. What God wants to do in this world transcends what you and I can do in this world and means we need his power to do it. Then we open ourselves up to the Spirit. I was reading this week and one guy wrote a prayer like this. It's just simply this. Lord, I am open to the Holy Spirit. Come to me, dwell in me, speak to me so I may become more like Christ. Give me the courage to be open, Lord. I'm open to the Holy Spirit. How open are you to the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life? We're going to do something a little different as we close here today. You see, God desires to fill us. He desires to be a huge part and to control. But the question is, are you desiring that? I believe there's power in prayer. And this morning, what we've done is on your chair in the room, we've left a card with a pen. The question is do you want to be filled with the Spirit? Do you want a fresh filling? Are you seeking and desiring revival in your life? If you do, all we're asking you to do in the room is take that card and write your name down. Tim, why don't you go ahead and come forward? If you write your name down, we're just going to ask you to raise it up, and we're going to have somebody come get it. And we've got our elders that are in the room and online, and they're going to pray for you, and they're going to pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. This isn't the first time you've gotten the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit at salvation, but there is something that says we need a constant refreshing of the Spirit in our lives. This isn't a one and done experience. It's a daily experience, a daily be filled and continue to be filled is the language in the New Testament. Paul said, walk in step, be led by. It's active and passive. We're allowing the Spirit like that wind to push us forward and we're going to follow, but we don't follow unless we take take that first step. And our first step today is to just say, God, I recognize I am dry. I am parched. God, I need a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit to live in the world of pandemic. God, I'm crying out for you. And God, as a good God, a good Father, says, you know what? I will pour it out. We don't even have to wonder, will he? He will. He will fill us up each and every day if we continue to come back to him again and again and say, God, I need you. God, I need you. I surrender to you. If you're online and you want to pray that prayer, you want the leaders of this church to pray for you, just type your name in the chat window, or there's a number you can text your name to if you'd rather keep it private. That's fine too. But we're going to take all these cards while we're singing, and we're going to bring them up here to the front. And the elders that are in the room, they're going to come up and we're going to kneel and we're going to pray over you. You know, it's the time of COVID. Yes, we'd love for you to come forward. We'd love to lay hands on you, but we know that right now, not the safest thing. We're going to do the next best thing. You're going to write your name on that card. We're going to put our hands on that card, and we're going to pray, because we realize that what the world needs now isn't another great marketing plan. It's really not even another mega church. It's not any of these things. What the world needs now is men and women who will stand up and say, I will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I will walk in step with the Spirit of God today. Today and tomorrow and the next day. And I will allow God to blow me around wherever he needs me to be, to bring his purifying fire into my life, and to allow the living water of the Holy Spirit to flow through me out into my community, so that there is life in my neighborhood, in my workplace, because that's where God is. So if you want prayer this morning, write your name down, lift it up, put it in the chat window, text that number, and we're going to pray for you. Worship team, go ahead and come forward.